We'll start this meeting. The Arizona State Massage Board Therapy, that's not what I'm doing. So we're going to call this meeting to order. The time is now 9:32. Let's do a roll call.
Emily Clark.
Bill Beard.
Victoria Bowman.
John Ortega.
Earl Dusky. We do have a quorum. Do we have call to the public? So pursuant ARS 38431, the board may make an open call to the public during the public meeting, subject to reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions for individuals to address the public body within the jurisdiction of the public body. However, members of the board are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on matters raised during the open call to the public unless the matters are properly notified for discussion and legal action. The board, however, may ask staff to review the matter and may ask the matter be put in future agenda. Is there anybody with a call to the public? Okay. Declaration of conflicts of interest. Is anybody with conflicts of interest that they need to declare? Okay. Moving right along, section 4, review, discussion, and possible action on board meeting minutes, discussion and approval of open session meetings from April 30th, 2018, board meeting. Anybody look it over?
I move the minutes be accepted.
Second.
That was Bill Beard.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 So moved. Any doing discussion? Okay. Items four to the board, going to five. Items for the board to review, discussion, and possible action. Upon a vote of the majority of the quorum, the board may go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38431.03A2 to discuss or consider records attempt by law for public inspection, including the receipt and discussion of information or testimony that is specifically required and maintained as confidential by state or federal law. Licensee applications. I'm going to move right there. Board to review and discuss the license applications pursuant to ARS 32-4223 and AAC R4-15-201 and R4-15-203, and may vote to take action on the following applicants. Christopher Esteen.
That was good. Mr.
Chairman?
Yes.
I was going to propose either tabling your licensing matters or perhaps going into an executive session on the entire item 5A, which would include all of the 5A 1 through 6. I have some advice I'd like to provide, legal advice. Or you could hold it for later in the meeting. I don't think that would take too long.
I move that we go into executive session.
I second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? So moved. So we're going to go into executive session. All right. We're going to resume our discussion meeting. Christopher Steen. Mr. White, can you give us a rundown on this?
This is the application review. Did bring it to the board.
So Andrew doesn't really do like a report on this, but I know that these reports that we receive from the FBI or the DPS are a little hard to read. So some of you guys had questions regarding the report itself, right? That he can read this better than I can. So he didn't do a report. I think it would put him on the spot to get him to give maybe more. It would be better to ask either Mr. Esteen questions or to ask questions regarding the report itself. The the BPS report, not something that Andrew would have written up.
Okay. Help us out.
Okay. What would you like to know?
So, when was the last time that you've had any convictions?
I haven't had convictions. I have my DPS also. The issue was never that I was convicted of anything. It was pending. The last time I was actually pulled over was, that was the problem that Mr. White brought to my attention that was restricting me from getting a license was a potential DUI. First of all, I don't drink. the police officer pulled me over for crossing the Gore line. I was getting off on an exit, realized it was the wrong exit, used my blinker, got over. He pulled me over. I drive a pink pig van. It was an old Tom's barbecue van. I didn't make it the way it is, but it has a metal tail and a hoof on it, and a snout. And the back window was broken. So I don't blame the officer. Like, what's going on here? You know what I mean? It's parked right outside right now, but the window's fixed. It's AC, so. Basically, the vehicle had an aroma of marijuana. And so I fully cooperated with him, but I was never charged. I went to court. I have paperwork showing that. I was very cooperative. I went to court, was never charged with any DUI, didn't even come up on their paperwork. So, but because what's printed out through the police, those, when they click a button, it goes to DMV, it goes to DPS, depending on what they click. The officer clicked the wrong button, which said that I refused a blood test, which I gave a blood test. So that's an automatic suspension for like a year and almost like guilt without it. But that's since been reversed. I've jumped through many hoops because once they make a mistake in the system, like, it's hard to get it reversed. But I've been through many reverses. And then in that process, I went to DPS, and there was a lot of things that they were reporting on just, you know, things over the years. Ever since, like, I think it was something in 2002 that was wrong, and I have affidavits and everything in here that provides that information. And so basically, they reviewed it. It took a while. They realized the mistake. DMV sent me a letter saying, hey, you know, everything is fine, and I have my license. So, but I still haven't been charged with anything.
Mr. Chairman, if I may. Mm-hmm. Question for you. You say you've got all the documentation. Have you provided that to staff?
No, this is the first time we've met since then, but I've been on the phone with Officer White, and I've let him know what was going on. So I have that documentation. This is the first time that this was even an option. I didn't know this was even an option, or I would have been tried to do this a long time.
Again, just to clarify, you
have not.
The issue from the 2017 DUI potential, etc. Mm-hmm. You've got documentation that all of that has been taken care of.
Yes.
You just need to provide that to staff, is what you're telling me?
I can provide that.
Okay.
Well, just giving us the license, let me know that he got cleared because they wouldn't have gave him a new license with a DUI.
Right. I have my current driver's license.
All right.
And paperwork stating everything that we just spoke about. Yes, sir.
The 2012, on the report they have a 2012 marijuana. It appears to be a misdemeanor conviction.
Mm-hmm.
That exists. Oh, that exists.
Yeah. Right. That's all. That's what I'm saying. If it's still showing current, it's all since been dealt with, different things like that. I suffer from migraines, but I can't. I throw up pills. I can't take aspirin. I've always been that way ever since a kid. And so I do have my medical marijuana card. So if that means
anything. Same. Probationary requirements or anything for the
No, sir. No, sir. That's been all taken care of.
And that would be outside of our price range. Anyway, I just wanted to be sure and clarify and if the board would entertain it, there you could also do a similar motion to the one we discussed on this file, potentially of a provisional subject to staff confirming matters of the criminal matter.
Victoria Bowman, I move that we issue the license dependent upon receipt of information that it has been cleared.
Okay. I just need to see a copy of the license now. You'll be okay.
Bill Beard, second.
Would you like that now?
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any more further discussion?
There should always be discussion before the vote.
So moved.
He's just going to copy and come back with your license.
Okay, no problem.
Byron Gillespie?
Okay, so, Byron. I guess my thing is I have a pending traffic violation in Illinois that was that put my status out here after completing school at pending still instead of active online after I finished. So it's the simplest driving charge. I moved the car from one side of the street to the other side. The cop who pulled up behind me as he was coming down the street noticed that the registration wasn't a valid or whatever, but it wasn't my car. So I was in the process of moving out to Arizona when this was happening. This is probably 2 days before I had packed up all my stuff and I was ready to come out here and give me a court date. And I moved. And it was the smallest traffic thing. And, you know, I've been on the phone talking to them trying to get it all settled. They suggested that I get a paid lawyer to just go and represent me, because going back and forth right now is implausible just for something so small, you know. The reason and going to school and all of that was to get my license so I could start working and get the paid lawyer, get that stuff taken care of. You know, I haven't been able to work after completing school, you know, due to something that happened, you know, almost 3 years ago. You know, super minor. I'm kind of in a bind right now. So this right here is, you know, I guess the next step in helping figure out what's going on.
Discussion?
Well, according to legal advice.
What is this? Yep. Victoria Bowman, I move that we issue Byron Gillespie his license.
John Ortega, I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Do good work.
There you go. Okay. Would recommend you get it done. Do we have a Tamara Huskin here? Yeah. Huskin was.
Yeah.
No Tamara. So.
Well, on the application, question 20, are you currently incarcerated, community supervision, or on probation? And she checked yes. So that falls under our restrictions. I guess I would move that until we have an explanation of when probation is over.
Well, for what it's worth, when we discussed this, I had anticipated her being here, actually, to explain things more.
Right.
So, you could proceed as discussed, or you could want to speak to her. That would be a fair, to table it for,
right,
invite someone in. It was a provisional motion because she would be barred.
Right.
Until such time as the probation completed. So you have the authority to, I believe, deny, grant the provisionally one, or table it to have a conversation.
You could grant it, I mean.
Yeah. Okay. Victoria Bowman, I move that we grant a provisional license that becomes active upon proof that probation has been completed.
John Ortega, I second.
Discussion. Do we want to give a time frame to that?
Well, no, because we don't know when the probation is.
That's what I'm saying. Do we
well,
want to?
Or do we want to? Like to modify the motion and see if the second would modify. You could I guess phrase it give her a period of time. I don't know, 2 weeks time to provide proof that probation has been completed, and if proof is not provided or probation is not completed, to deny.
So it's either grant if she provides the documentation in 2 weeks, or deny if she either doesn't provide it or doesn't provide something that shows it.
So is probation supposed to be over in 2 weeks?
My understanding is she didn't want something to go on like for years.
Right.
Yeah. The timing is such that it should be complete if she had complied.
Right.
But if she was non-compliant, she might be in jail. You never know. But we don't know. All we know is it should have been complete. I don't think we had documentation that it was
2 weeks. Really kind of short.
Yeah.
Well, my question is, I'm looking at the document here from that's been ordered, it's checked, and it says unsupervised probation for a period of 3, and it's got years circled.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's what, yeah, I don't know why years. I thought months, but I think you're accurate. That is circled 3,
yeah.
So good catch.
So if it was just done this year, then she's got a little time to go.
37.
Bottom of 38 and top of 39.
Right.
And, bottom of 37, wow. Top of 38.
Mm-hmm. So conceivably, the motion still works because she wouldn't be able to prove within 2 weeks that she's cleared from probation. Mm-hmm. But knowing this now wasn't my understanding of these.
If it's 3 years, she's still got a little time to go.
You may also just vote to deny it for being under a restriction that a political subdivision of this state imposed.
Okay.
That's why I was concerned.
Right. Yeah. It's not months, it's years. Okay.
Yeah.
I would like to
just for what it's worth, the existing motion is to grant license upon showing staff proof that you've been discharged from probation. And then the question was about a timeline. I would recommend that we have a timeline, so modify the motion. But as long as we're modifying the motion, now you know it's a 3-year probation, you can just vote to deny it. We just need a first and a second to retract their motion.
Okay, either that or, okay. I would like to retract my motion.
And a second. You withdraw your second as well?
Yes, I withdraw my second.
Okay.
So, just to be clear, because we had I have given you bad info. You cannot be licensed pursuant to your statutes while you're under a restriction by a political subdivision of the state. She looks like she'll be on probation for another 2 years. So, for that reason, you could just deny. If you wanted to leave up in a window, who knows what's happened because she's not here, you could also say, grant the license subject to proof within the next 2 weeks that you're not on probation, but if you don't provide that proof, deny.
Well, can't we just table it to hear what she has to say?
And you can just table it.
Yeah, because she might get early.
You can be released early from probation.
Not that early.
Like an athlete.
Yeah, not that early.
Yeah, they ain't cutting that much time off.
Or you can violate probation and you have another reason. So you can either table it or do one of those motions.
It might cut 6 months off. It ain't cutting a year and a half off.
Yeah, I know, it's just...
Yeah, 2 years, yeah.
So,
how do we have,
what would we like to do?
Deny or table?
I would say let's just table it. See if she...
I would agree.
In addition to tabling, are you asking her to come in? Or just table?
Just table it until... We send her another invitation to appear before us.
What was her?
I would guess just to clear the plate, you could make a motion to deny if staff is unable to confirm or connect with her. Something that just said, if they try to reach out to this applicant who didn't show today, when you would have invited her to today, you're going to wait a whole other month just to be right where you are, but you might be able to make a motion that says, give staff a week or two to attempt contact, but if no contact is made, either way, deny. Like a provisional denial where you offer a 2-week window for, we can get in touch with her, and she says she's coming in, we'll let her come in and say her piece, but if you can't do that within a couple
weeks. But either way, she's under probation, so we have to deny.
Presuming that somehow she's going to come in and tell you something that's unexpected, that somehow she got released 2 years early from her probation. Which
she does have the right to reapply when probation is completed.
She also has the right to request a hearing.
Okay.
Upon your denial, at which point she could provide that proof and things might change. So my recommendation is to deny.
Victoria Bowman, I move we deny.
Emily Clark, second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay. So we have, I know, go aye. 4. 4-1.
One opposed.
Yeah, one opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Then Daniel Rivera.
Mr. Rivera is was convicted on July 17th, 2016, for disorderly conduct with a weapon. He was discharging a weapon. And he was found guilty, and he'll be on probation until December 15th, 2021.
So he's on probation in this state?
Yeah.
So that's another change from the back pattern that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
The felony itself is not grounds for denial, but the probation is a restriction issued by a political subdivision of this code.
Victoria Bowman, I move we deny the license based on his probation.
Emily Clark, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? So moved. Eric Smith?
Mr. Smith has outstanding warrants in Tucson. I listed one on the paper, but after I did my investigation the other day, I did a follow-up. He had a total of 3. They didn't bring him up. They didn't bring him up when he ran his prints, but they were all issued the same day. So I guess they used this particular one as the lead warrant. And then when you open up the file in the case track, it showed that he had two other cases that was also
current
warrants. Yes, and he hasn't responded as far as that.
And we can't have.
So it's under investigation, 4222.
Mm-hmm. You want to make a move? Motion?
Emily Clark, I move that we deny the application.
John Ortega, I second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 So, opposed? So moved. Emma Wu?
Ms. Wu was in a court disposition back in February by myself, and she was arrested for prostitution. I did a little research on that one also, and I went to some St. George's news in Utah and found an article showing her being arrested with several other individuals at a massage parlor, and it listed her as a person of offering services for sexual solicitation. On her court disposition, on her criminal history, it showed that she took a plea in advance. That means instead of going to jail, she took a plea But I asked her for the final disposition. She never provided it to me. I want to know what the alternative of the abeyance was. Was it going to be a dismissal? She stayed out of trouble for 6 months. Was she going to be dropped from a felony to a misdemeanor? She never responded at all. And it's prostitution at that. So.
Mr. Chairman, Bill Beard, I move we deny the application for Emma Wu.
Do you want to deny this one or table it?
Well, the discussion was about the withdrawal provisions and the 365-day wait period. So.
My apologies. Table this one.
John Ortega, I second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? So moved. Moving on to investigation files, 5B1, Travis Niles.
5B1.
5B1?
Yeah.
What do you know this guy?
18119.
18, B1 would be Harrison Vickers.
The agenda doesn't match the.
Oh.
The agenda, there's Harrison Vickers.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I think I added this in after I had created the document. So Niles becomes 2.
Oh, you know what? Mine's a typo because it has Niles in there twice.
Niles is in there twice.
Oh, he's got 2. Okay.
Do we have any investigation on?
Oh, okay.
I'm going to provide an update on Vickers.
Okay.
So, and I don't know how good it's going to be honest with you.
Okay, correction. 5B1 is Harrison Vickers.
Yeah. So he came before this board way before me. For, to be honest with you, the only one that hasn't been some sort of sexual misconduct or prostitution. His is just too much pressure in a massage or something to that effect. But because he was unavailable to be here for a good amount of time, I'm not sure exactly when, he was in Panama or Chile or something like that, getting I can't really divulge medical stuff, but seeking medical treatment that isn't offered in the United States because it's kind of exploratory. So this board had voted to, prior to me, to vote to allow him to come in the future when he was back in the U.S., and specifically in Arizona. He since has come back. He provided some sort of written response, and you guys looked at this in February of this year. And through legal advice, you guys opted to do a consent agreement for continuing education, mostly to deal with massage therapy treatment and communication with your clients so that you're listening to what the need is. We've offered it. Oh, yeah, sorry. So offer that, and if not accepted, to go to a formal interview, not hearing the interview. He hasn't even responded. We've reached out to him multiple times, but the only way that we know, through email, letter, and phone call. The phone is actually now disconnected. The one at his office goes directly to his voicemail right away. In lieu of going to a formal interview that he likely isn't going to show up, I thought I'd put it back on the agenda and see if you guys want to move this to a formal hearing now. And just when he doesn't show up to the formal... So instead of going from a formal interview, change it to a formal hearing. That way, if he doesn't show up at that, you can end it with a revocation through deeming the allegations versus going through, a formal interview and then ending up in a formal hearing at some point.
And if I may, even though you may have had a case like this where you wouldn't probably suspend or revoke, so that's why you do a formal interview, and under formal interview you have lesser penalties, you can always impose your lesser penalties. You can only do that if they show up for the formal interview. So we couldn't just impose something less thinking, well, even if we didn't talk to him, we know what we'd give him. Because if you either deny a formal interview or you don't show up, it's considered a denial, and then you have to go to formal hearing to impose any discipline. So,
in short, I think we're just skipping that step, and I support it.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman?
And just to be clear, the motions I think we would need for this would be a motion to rescind your previous vote to send the matter to a formal hearing after the consent agreement offer, and instead vote to send the matter to a formal hearing. So you need two votes, one to rescind your last vote to send a formal interview, and then another one to send it to formal hearing if that's the path you want to take.
Do we even know if he's, with all due respect, and I don't know if this could go live?
We don't. And that's the whole thing.
You haven't responded to anything.
Yeah.
And I even checked his page. No, his page is no people saying that he's doing a great job and no Messiah. Nothing active. Nothing is active.
Current.
Yeah, nothing's current at all.
I spoke to him on the phone after the February meeting. Yeah. He said, oh my gosh, thank you so much for going through this. That saves me a trip down there. I'll anticipate getting the document.
Okay, so
we actually assumed he was going to sign it, and we got nothing. And it's just going to linger, and it's aging unnecessarily, in my opinion.
But he sounded good and well to you at that time?
Well, I didn't ask him. I didn't. But, I mean, I asked him how he's feeling.
I'm not saying nothing.
Well, and if there's concern about him or anything, it used to send everything to formal hearing.
Right.
So it's not like it's a big difference. We just have to draft up a complaint. He'll still have the opportunity to respond and participate, and you would still be able to impose whatever discipline you want if he does. But if he just doesn't, then that's a way to close the file.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move we rescind the action to have the consent agreement in regards to Harrison Vickers from the February meeting.
I second it.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? So moved.
Mr. Chairman, Bill Beard, I move that we move item 5B on the agenda, item 1, file number 17-109, Vickers, Harrison, to formal hearing.
John Ortega, I second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. So moved. Travis Niles?
He's not here.
He's not here. Okay. Do we do one at a time?
You can vote to consolidate them.
I move that we consolidate case 18-119 and case 18-120 dealing with Travis Niles.
Second?
Bill Beard, second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? So moved. So, work on that. So, Mr. White?
On December 1st, 2017, the Arizona Side Board received a complaint from AM via Massage Envy that Travis Niles violated ARS 32-4253 for inappropriate touching, sexual assault, and improper draping. The complaint AM states that Niles allegedly sexual assault of her during a massage on August 27, 2017. AM stated she was receiving a medium to deep pressure massage for her back, shoulders, neck, and jaw. Niles suggested that AM should receive a pec lift. Niles allegedly pulled down the sheets and uncovering both of AM's breasts. Niles allegedly told AM to breathe in and out and then cupped her breast with his hands. Niles then shook AM's breast one after the other and asked AM how was that. AM responded she wasn't sure. Niles then asked her if she wanted to do her legs. AM stated no. She was scared Niles would try to go somewhere else on her body. After the massage was over, AM was in shock and couldn't believe what had just happened. AM reported the incident to Massage Envy. Niles had no written or verbal permission to massage AM's breast on September 4th, 2017. Niles was scheduled to meet with the director of human resources at Encore Companies, and he failed to appear, and he was terminated at that point. Next one is...
Yes, Mr. Chair and Mr. Wright, I think in light of the severity of the allegations, if we could just like a... the general nature
okay.
of the allegation.
Okay. I agree.
More.
On the second case, I received that December 1st, 2017 also, and it was an inappropriate touching, sexual assault, and improper draping. Niles,
I think that's adequate.
That's what he asked.
Okay, okay, okay.
Discussion?
Let's take it to a formal hearing.
So, do you want to...
He hasn't made any contact with us whatsoever. Haven't responded. Hasn't answered in, on the complaint. I've called the number several times. He hasn't responded. I left voice messages. He hasn't responded.
So do we want to offer a consent agreement that it, he wants to...
Surrender.
Or how...
Surrender his license?
Yeah, surrender his license and or... Then if he doesn't, then it goes to formal hearing.
Can we make that a 10-day? Sometimes we'll use 30 days, but I think in this case 10 is warranted or less for the consent agreement acceptance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then
go to formal hearing. Mr. Chairman, I move that we offer a consent agreement for surrender of license within 10 days of this meeting. For Travis Niles for the two cases previously mentioned, 18-119 and 18-120.
Victoria Bowman, I second.
Do we just a roll call? I'm just a general vote, right?
Well, let's make it a roll call because if the consent agreement is accepted, that's just...
Okay.
And you only have five of you.
Yes. Bill Beard, yes.
Victoria Bowman, aye.
John Ortega, yes.
Earl Dusky, aye. Yes.
Thank you.
So moved.
And while they're pulling up, I'll just remind everyone, in discussing any client matters, we'll use only initials for the client.
Mr. White?
Okay. Which isn't this week in the basis.
Just give us some.
On 12-17-2017, at approximately 5:10 p.m., HM alleges that licensed massage therapist Jose Ortiz violated our ARS 32-4253 with inappropriate touching, sexual assault, and improper draping. Also, Mr. Ortiz's license has expired on April 15, 2018.
Would you like to give us a brief overview?
As far as this matter is concerned, I feel that I am falsely accused based on the fact that I received consent from the beginning during the intake interview when she came in through the doors, and I asked her, what areas would you like me to focus on? And she said, full body, it's been a long time. You know what to do, work your magic, do what you have to do. And I repeated, so you want a full body massage then? And she said, yes. And so I proceeded. When I stepped out the room, I had to get changed, whatever, and I came back in. And I proceeded with her face down, from the shoulders, the neck, all the way down to the feet. And when we turned her around, she remained covered, draped. And I went from the feet all the way up to the neck. And as I worked the neck muscles, because she said she wanted a full body massage, so now I'm thinking reviews on Yelp. I'm thinking, I guess compliments at the front desk or whatever. I'm working every single muscle think of. Now, I know that she complained about lower back pain. So I take care of, you know, making sure that I work the QLs, the muscles on the hip, the glutes, and the legs. And when it came to the shoulders, I saw that her shoulders were rolled forward. I don't know, I call it tech syndrome if you spend a lot of time on a computer. So I work every single muscle on the top pec area. I work the serratus on the side, and I maintain the draping so that even when I went underneath to the serratus, which she would open up her arm to let me in, I maintained the sheet up here so that nothing was uncovered. And I worked on the strength muscles and around. So I tried to work every single muscle group that had to do with the shoulders being rolled forward, right? She claims that I massaged her breasts, and I didn't. And at one point, she was breathing heavily in and out and kind of smiling. And I'm a professional, so I don't think anything of it because I've seen this many a times, even with my own therapist, coworkers, you know, even with myself, when I'm getting a massage that I haven't been, if I haven't been touched in a long time, sometimes you kind of get so into it that you feel like you're helping the therapist when you're really not. And I had to remind myself, relax, let them do their job. I don't talk much during the massage because I don't want to interrupt the feeling of serenity. So as I was massaging, at one point, I remember there was probably about, when I got to the neck area, I think there was maybe about 5 or 6 minutes left, maybe possibly 10. When I got to the neck area and I was massaging, like I said, she was breathing heavily in and out. Chest was heaving up and down, of course, from the breathing. She looked up at me with a half smile. And she said, and I quote, she says, "What are you doing?" And I immediately stopped because in my mind, I'm thinking, where is she going with this? So I was ready to stop the massage if she thought that this was going anywhere sexual. And I said, "I'm giving you a peck." And in my head, I'm trying to go through what I was thinking. In my head, I kind of put a slash because I wasn't sure if being clinical, she was going to understand. I said, "I'm giving you a pec breast massage," because I was massaging up in this area of the pecs, the pec major. And she said, "Oh, okay, I was just wondering what you were doing." And I was still confused, so I said, "Are you okay?" She said, yeah. "Just wondering what you were doing." And I said, "Do you want me to continue?" And she said, yeah. "Go ahead." And by this time, I think I looked at the clock and there was like maybe 2 minutes left. So I did my one more set around the pec, the shoulders, the serratus, the neck. And then I did some neck stretching. And then I went to the feet and I did some feathering to bring the blood supply back up to the heart. Came up to the hands. And ended at the scalp and just kind of shook it off. And I looked at her and I said, "Okay." I said, "Take your time when you get up. You know, if you get lightheaded or dizzy, it's normal." I mean, everything normal. I mean, everything that I always went through. And when I came back with the bottle of water, I noticed that the energy kind of shifted, energy changed. And she said, "No, I have water in my car." I said, "Okay." As she went to the front desk, I said, "Have a Merry Christmas." And she said, "You too." And I walked away confused, not knowing what was going on. And I looked at one of my coworkers and I said, I was like, "Yo, this doesn't even feel right, like the way she walked out." So I just started writing in the soap notes, everything that I did, including writing that I did pec breast massage. And I think I slashed it in the soap notes. The next day, my schedule was full, but 5 minutes as I was going in, it was blocked. So I knew something was wrong. They asked me what happened, And I was so confident that I didn't do anything that I looked at my boss and I told exactly what happened. And my boss said, write down a statement about what happened. So I wrote it down. My mistake was, and I learned this through the Deputy of Unemployment, was that I wrote down that she looked like she was turned on. That was my mistake. And I said, I was trying to figure out a scientific way, and she corrected me, and she goes, you mean clinical? I said, yes. That was the word I was looking for the whole time, a clinical way, but I wrote it in such layman's terms because I was sure that I hadn't done anything. And I was confident, and I looked at my boss, and my boss knows that everything I did was always not just to make her proud about me, because up until then, I had only been working there for seven months. I had gotten 200% scores on the mystery shoppers. I tried to do as much as possible and tried to give as much of myself to the company. And I asked my boss so many questions, but that's beyond the case. So like I said, my mistake was that the way that I wrote it was misconstrued. And I wasn't asked any more questions at work. And then when I got the phone call, I was told that I was being fired for improperly draping. And I said, but I didn't improperly drape. I always kept her covered. And I never touched her nipples or her areola according to the law of massage therapy from the board, the thing that I had researched. And I said, I never touched her breasts like that. I touched the muscle. I was massaging the muscles. And I was trying to be as complete as possible. And so, like I said, I think that they misconstrued what I wrote, because I know I'm not an articulate speaker.
Okay. So if you were to bring this to a head, is there anything else anybody else got questions?
Not at this moment.
Not at this time.
Not at this moment.
Is the maid here?
Is she?
No.
Is she not here?
The complainant?
No. No, she's not here. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'll
add. Okay.
The question I have is, did you get a written breast release, massage breast release?
No, I had no idea that I had to get a written consent, because I wasn't massaging her breast per se. I said pec/breast because I wasn't sure which term she was going to understand, but I was only massaging the pectoral major area in accordance to the shoulders being rolled forward. I was trying to be as complete as possible. So when she walked out that door, since Massage Envy relies a lot on positive reviews, I tried to make it my business to give the best professional massage possible in order to get those positive reviews. And based on your question, Ms. Vice Chairman, because I didn't know that I had to get a written consent, I went ahead, and as I was doing my continuing CEUs, I went ahead and did a massage ethics course with the National Board of Massage Therapy, just to find out if anything that I did was wrong. And I found out that I needed a consent to massage breasts. But in my defense, I wasn't massaging the breast tissue or anything like that. I was massaging the pectoral muscles in order to bring the shoulders back. But I learned a lot in taking those CEUs about consent, about written consent.
I did have a question for Mr. White. It says a police report was filed. Has anything come about as a result of that
so
far?
No.
As far as that, the Detective Wyatt told me over the phone that she was going to close the case because she didn't see that I had violated anything. And then, so that was number one. Then number two, when I did an interview with the unemployment deputy, she also did her research, and she approved me for unemployment based on her research that I didn't violate any law. And then they appealed it, and it went to a judge. And then they changed their story. Elements Massage changed their story to the judge. And I don't know if the judge saw that, but she saw also that I didn't violate anything. And so she gave me the case, which I have here. Plus, I have about, 22 character witness letters that I emailed to Mr. White stating my character.
Hey. So did you bring yours? Did you give soap notes to Mr. White? Did you share those soap notes?
No, they fired me. I didn't do anything.
But you said you've got some result from the adjudication of the labor court and whatnot. Have you provided that to
this one? No.
Okay.
Mr. White, is there a reason the complaint didn't show up today?
Oh, they don't have to come for the investigative review.
Yeah.
The judge did ask me a question that made me think really hard during the conference call, and she asked me if anything had anyone against me, and it made me think that when I was hired for sued at the same time that I was hired for Elements Massage, I reported the LMT who was the recruiter of sued because of how unprofessional she was when Sue called me and asked me, how did the interview go? And when I reported her, I was emailing a recording of our conversation. I emailed the recording to Sue, and I accidentally emailed it also to her, to the recruiter. So I went to Elements Massage during second, third week, and I said, listen, if anyone specifically requests me because of the report that I just made, I said, don't book me with this person or anybody that this person might know, because I don't know if she may retaliate against me.
Okay.
Do you want to make a motion?
To move this to a formal hearing or a formal interview?
I thought this was a formal hearing. I requested it. Mm-hmm.
This is just the investigative? So this is just the investigative. This is where we decide where it's going to go, whether it would have been tabled, whether it would have been or what would happen to it, basically. So
Did I just hear you say that you're requesting a formal hearing?
I did. I requested Andrew, Mr. White. I told him that I wanted to fight this, and I requested a formal hearing. And I thought that this is what this was.
No, this is all just part of the process.
May I intercede, Mr. Chair? The three main options they have at this stage are they could table it, do more investigation, but formal things that move to the next stage are to dismiss it or to send it to what's called a formal interview. And that isn't going to be one where it's a complaint, but it looks quite similar to a formal hearing. You'll sit right there. You'll testify under oath. They can hear from the client under oath, but it's not like exhibits offered. And after a formal hearing, their options are limited. They're not allowed to revoke or suspend. If they want the options of revoking or suspending, they have to go to formal hearing, which will look very similar. It'll just have a little more formality. At the conclusion of a formal hearing, they can revoke or suspend. So if they made a vote to offer you a formal interview, you can either deny or decline to come or not come, and then it'll go to a formal hearing. So you're saying you want a formal hearing. I just want to make sure there's not a confusion there where they interpret you saying, I don't want to be in a formal interview. I want the place where they can revoke me. Because that would be unlike a normal response. I feel like you're confused on the the terminology.
Because when I was doing my research, I was researching and it was saying that if you go to an informal hearing, you're found guilty, they can report you to every health agency in the world, and you're basically done. But if you go to a, if you request, you have to request a formal hearing in order to defend yourself. And when I spoke to Mr. White, I was passionate about defending myself on this.
Well, and to clarify, too, if at a formal interview you are found responsible, you don't have appeal rights. Whereas after a formal hearing you're found responsible, you would have appeal rights. But you get to defend yourself in either proceeding. So just
and for the board's purpose. If it ends in, if there is something that's found responsible, both are reportable to the National Practitioner Database.
Right.
And maybe if you want to have further discussion, we can have that after the meeting, and the board could make a motion to send it. Let's just say you are more inclined to go to formal interview. If it's declined, it goes straight to formal hearing. So you don't need to make a separate motion to go to formal hearing. If we do formal interview and you say, hey, now that I've heard all about it, I don't want to do that. I want to do the formal hearing. He would just tell staff, and it would be scheduled for formal hearing. But if you want to send the formal hearing, you can just do that as well.
Now, I have another thing that I added. I emailed Mr. White, like I said, about 22 different character witness letters that spoke about my character from past and present clients over the course of...
But that'll be incorporated into the hearing part of the process. That's not for now.
You have
here them. We're just done.
They're all in your packet, but you can use those as exhibits also.
Right.
Yeah.
Hearing.
Did you need this one, Mr. White?
The, or do you want to do what he's
the
saying?
Judges.
Yeah.
Everything you have, you should probably. Yeah.
You were riding the fence.
I'm just writing. We don't need to hear the case today. That's all.
Yeah, right.
You don't need to hear it today.
No, that's what I meant. Not, but.
No, Beard, Mr. Chairman, I move. We move this to an informal or to a formal interview. Thank you.
Formal interview.
John Ortega, I second.
Okay, just a general vote. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
So moved. Michael Quibel. No Michael Quibel.
His license has already expired.
23, well, yeah, a couple years ago.
Yeah. I don't know if that, I don't know. This case is a little, are we going with this one, or are we going to see if there's other people here?
Is anybody here for Michael Coppell's case? No?
The complainant made when she confronted the employer, and I could not figure out a way to embed it or upload it, but if this goes anywhere and you're interested in listening to it, I'm happy to provide. I just wanted, for the record, that you guys know that there's an audio that she also supplied.
I'm just curious for the AG's office, given that I understand we received this in February of 2018, but this dates back to 2012.
Yeah.
Does this board have any authority to do anything in this particular instance?
Well, you do because you don't have any sort of statute of limitations, but
you do, but not on sexual misconduct.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, and. You know, I would generally, for something like this, let someone raise that as an argument. But the license is expired beyond 3 years, which means it's this person was going to come back and have to reapply as a new licensee. And so the worst you can do is a revocation based on misconduct. I understand the former licensee received correspondence but isn't participating. So with all that in mind, you know, often we see this just getting tabled or closed without prejudice, essentially. Right. Not tabled, closed without prejudice. And if Mr. Cabell would look to come back and apply for licensure, it could be reopened at that time. But for now, he doesn't have a license and hasn't for...
So we can move. Years. We can move to open this case if he reapplies for licensure?
Yeah.
And can we?
It could be grounds. Something to consider if he did reapply.
Okay.
But as of now, I mean, he hasn't been licensed since 2015, and after 3 years of not being licensed, you have to reapply as a brand new licensee. And I think staff has, I assume, correct me if I'm wrong, the capability to note as much
flag him so that if it doesn't
Can we actually revoke a license that's expired?
You can. You can.
Yeah, you can revoke a license 20 times over.
Right.
But, and which is to say you can't investigate this case, I would just say currently the status quo is he doesn't have a license and has it for 3 years, so the worst outcome that could come would be for him to lose his license, which is already gone.
Is the person that filed it wanting some kind of action, or is this just brought to our attention? And
yeah, no, she wants some action.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, but since he's not practicing, how would you word it that we're going to just flag it so if he comes back and tries to get it, or is there a way do we want to do it for other states, though? I mean, or is he still in this state, though?
Yeah. He's still here.
That doesn't mean he can't move.
Right. So unless we revoked it, it wouldn't go on a national database.
Well, but do we have... All we have is a complaint. We don't have any evidence to revoke anything
right now. And that's what I'm saying. So unless we move it all the way forward and go all the way, and unless it got revoked, I mean, so that's all hypothetical.
And, yes. And the other thing that my concern is that this happened how many years ago, and it wasn't filed until now?
Let me give you a brief little history of her. She is a prior sexual assault victim.
Okay.
And the word she gave me is that it was locked up in her head, and she blocked it out. She kicked it in, and she responded. Yeah.
I understand.
I understand that can happen. When it's ready to come out. So, entertain general. What you guys like to do?
I'm of two minds because part of. Given that it has been some time since this occurred, my default position would tend to be, we flag it in the system and let it, if it comes back up, go from there. But we do have an obligation to protect the health and safety of the public. And if any of the allegations in the complaint are true, there's a problem. And I can understand why. If we take no action, it may reflect poorly on us down the road.
Flagging's not taking any no action. It just doesn't cover other states. That's the only thing that it does.
And that's my general concern.
Right.
Is there
but if he hasn't moved in... Well,
that
doesn't mean.
Is there
any way, even though his license has expired for 3 years, is there any way we can say putting him in suspension, suspended, and if he tries to reapply?
I mean, you'd have to go to a hearing.
I move we take this to formal hearing.
John Ortega, I second.
Do you guys, now that you've already done it, do you want to do the... consent on?
Does he respond at all to correspondence?
No.
So getting him to sign a consent agreement to surrender his license is probably...
It's not an active license, so he wouldn't have responded
at all.
You know, and just so you know, even on cases, we would have had one this month, but it just was late to get in your packet. You've sent me to a formal hearing, and we find out that a licensee is willing to sign a consent to surrender. We'll get it signed, and just the difference is... Instead of being effective that moment, because you already authorized it, we would have to bring it back to you.
Okay.
So we'll attempt. He's not interested in maintaining a license and says, surrender. Then we'll put that in place. If not, we'll schedule the hearing.
Okay.
And see what comes of it. And if the vote passes, because we're still at consent.
So
roll call vote.
Okay. There's further discussion.
So the motion is that...
To send a formal hearing.
And
I'm just telling you informationally that because of the nature of the facts, we will investigate whether the person is interested, the respondent is interested in surrender. And if so, we get them signed and present to you next month instead of a hearing.
Okay. I like that. Roll call vote?
Aye.
Do I get a first, second? That's Emma Clark.
Bill Beard, aye.
Victoria Bowman, aye.
John Ortega, yes.
Earl Dusky, yes. So moved. Deborah Shoemaker? We still have quorum.
She's not here.
Okay.
Deborah Schumacher, MT-22873, was convicted of a felony, one count dangerous drug possession, one count narcotic drug possession, one count of marijuana. She ended up taking a plea to one count of possession of narcotic paraphernalia, a class 6 felony, and she was sentenced on February 7, 2018. And she failed to notify the board of her arrest and conviction in that time period. And she's on probation for at least for 1 year.
For one year. So.
Discussion.
Yeah. So my thoughts are to offer her a consent agreement for CEs. And business practices and ethics.
Okay.
And so being on probation does not mean that we suspend her license, does it? No. Okay.
Her, yeah, initial license.
Right. Right. And that we have her come before the board when those CEs are completed, and to make can we put her on like a provisional license or a probationary license through the probation that she's on?
Yeah, you can offer a probation to correspond with her criminal probation.
Okay.
And a requirement would be to remain in compliance with your criminal probation.
Right. I would like to see that, and let's say 12 hours of CE in addition to in class approved by board staff.
Time frame?
To run concurrent with her criminal probation.
Okay, which is going to be just about the time for her
license
renewal at the same time. So yeah. It's all going to come up at the same time?
Would you like her to have any early termination rights or to have to appear to be removed from probation?
I like the person to come before the board.
And if not accepted, do you want to go to a formal interview, formal hearing?
Formal interview? Well,
formal,
yeah formal interview.
So it was a 12-hour CEs in business practices and ethics.
Anything else you can think of? Any other topics?
No, but you're putting her on probation concurrent with her
criminal probation.
Criminal probation.
Yeah, and to remain compliant with that probation.
Right.
And then to have to appear before the board to request termination of her release from probation. And if not accepted, proceed to formal interview.
Yes.
Is that a formal motion?
Yes, that was a formal motion.
Bill Beard, second.
We do need a roll call for the
Emily Clark?
Emily Clark, yes.
Bill Beard, aye.
Victoria Bowman, aye.
Earl Dusky, aye. Jeffrey Simpson?
Last one. Okay, Mr. Simpson violated ARS 32-3208 in relation to, he got arrested for one count of theft credit card control. He was found guilty of the charge of theft of a credit card or obtaining a credit card by fraudulent means. He was sentenced on February 22, 2018 to one count and is a class 5 felony. He is also a physical therapist, and they were also flagged about his information also. And he's on probation for 3 years to Christian Weingart, an old friend of mine. So So he's on probation until February 2021.
So,
do we know what the physical therapy board has done?
No, not
yet.
They got the complaint the same time I did. They sent it to me, and I took it to them.
So it's a class 5. He's still under.
And he has made no attempt to notify the. So his license, correct?
Yes.
Next year.
Next year?
Says 5/17/19.
Yeah.
Got the right person?
Next year, yes.
Ah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He's got a full year.
Yep. I was reading the wrong dates.
But he's got 3 years of probation. So. Can he renew being on probation?
Can he renew being on probation?
Yeah,
he can.
Okay.
Just initial application. Once you, I mean, just to think of it that way, once you, someone has a license, you have to have a hearing process to take away a license versus they have the burden of obtaining it in the first place. He has, and just in case it was missed, he does have a written response. Mr. Beard, I know you asked if he was participating. He on page 240, we had a written answer.
Ah, okay.
What would you guys like to do? 240?
Yeah, my 240 is an email. Essentially, what he says is he was unaware of the 10-day reporting rule. He spent one night in jail for the incident and then the rest was probation, but he's life since then.
But it was a felony, and he says here he was charged with it before he applied?
March of this year.
I'd kind of like to have him come before us and explain what happened.
Yeah, his license.
Why
only,
is it 16?
He only had a license 1 year.
Yeah.
That's probably why. What happens on a case like that is he got arrested, and if the incident happened before he went through the process and his fingerprints had already been gone, they didn't pick it up. They wouldn't pick it up because he hadn't been charged.
Got it.
Since he was arrested in 2017, that his initial licensing was in 2016.
Yeah. I think the incident happened in 2016, though, right? But he got arrested in 2017.
Arrested August of 2017.
Yeah.
So the gist of it is he didn't notify us and everything else is...
Yes.
Correct. All right.
So do we want to bring him forward? Do we want to wait? Fine.
Interview or hearing?
Interview.
I think interview.
Yeah.
You want an interview for this one? Can we just do a fine for this too? Or do we have to go to an interview to do that?
You would have to offer it by consent agreement. Not accepted. Proceed to interview. You can offer those after the interview, but not at this stage except by consent agreement.
What are your thoughts?
Seems to be aware, but he also needs to know what he did. So we want to just go with.
So a consent agreement that basically says you need some CEUs and
impose a fine for...
A fine as well?
For the 10-day.
Have we done a fine for failure to notify in the 10 days?
No, we've been really very lenient on those. Okay. So... That's why I was thinking...
And Mr. Whitey has nothing else on his record?
No.
No. You know, I would like, I mean, you know, this gentleman is in his mid-30s, and his record is clean, and I'd like an explanation as to what happened.
So you want to go to an interview?
I'd like to go to a formal interview.
A formal motion?
I move we go to formal interview.
Emily Clark, second.
Roll call? No. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. We'll go to a formal interview. So moved. We're at the executive director's report. It's your movie now.
It's my movie. So not a whole lot to report. There was not a whole lot in agency operations. As you can see, we're trying to basically wrap this whole process in a neatly packaged gift. And it's just, there's just a lot that, as you've probably noticed already, I'm very black and white. April's pretty similar, I think. And sometimes you don't know what you don't know until you don't know it. And it's kind of a goofy way to explain that we are making some changes and some progress toward just basically trying to follow what we can, which is statute and rule, not do mission creep and stuff like that. So the budget is in here. It's on page 258. Everything looks healthy. I don't see any red flags. The one thing that I'll probably do in this next budget year, which we report 2 years out, so in the next budget year I'll be reporting for 2020, is a request for probably to update our database. And I'm actually a little bit cautious about doing so, because right now there is an initiative that's, I think there's 13 plus 13 health boards plus ROC, Register of Contractors, that's under this, you know what they're calling it, e-licensing initiative or something, where they're trying to use all the same product. It has gone not smooth, I'll say it. That's probably the nicest way of saying it. As anything, nothing's going to be super smooth in that process anyway, but they're trying to basically take one diagram and then throw in all 14 that they have to use the same thing. And I just don't think that's the way to build a database that is supposed to be functional for anybody. Because what they're going to do is come back and they're going to charge for these one-offs that we don't have expired status, we have canceled status. So you have to change it, and then they're going to charge for each thing they make changes. So I'm going to do a budget request, and I hope not to be a part of that. But from what I've been told, is OSPB is kind of in control of it to some degree. There was an RFP process, and Deloitte had won the bid to develop a database. And the original cost was $500,000 for these 13 plus the one. They call them the 13 colonies, but they've left them out and it's an island. But what happened was then it quickly went up. It went up to $600,000, then it was $625,000. Now it's over $900,000. But all the boards that had put, I'm going to say donated money, but contributed money to it, it was not based on their own willingness completely. And they now have a database that I think went live last week that was supposed to go live last October that is not operational. So when I make the request, I'll do it to... They're either going to grant the appropriation or they're not. And if they say you have to go through this initiative, then we just will make the decision not to, and hopefully at some point we'll be able to select our own database. There's other fish in the pond that we can use, and I just don't want to be forced to something like that. But so you'll see the appropriation, and I can't read it. I think it says 466. It'll be the same for 19 fiscal year, which starts in July, and then in 2020 I'll probably try to increase that for an appropriation to spend more of the balance and the revenue to include a database. Right now we can't, like if people call for public records requests, we can't answer the public like if they want to know therapists in this zip code because they're going to do a marketing campaign, we can't give them anything. And it's just a super antiquated database. There's other problems with it, but that's one. So unless anybody has any other questions about the budget, I don't have anything really to report. But you'll see this coming up in this next couple months. And then as far as agency operations, I think, Michael, the AG's office generally puts something together every year about, oh, I don't know, you guys probably, Bill Beard, I'm pretty sure you're aware, the legislative process ended May 4th, I think, May 4th. So anything that passes, or May 5th, I think it was May 5th, mm-hmm. It was like late in the night, anything that passed, that the governor signed into law, becomes law 90 days after that date, so it would be August 3rd, and we do have a bill that will be part of that, which is the reciprocity that right now you had to have 5 years of, you didn't even have to be a therapist, you just had to be licensed as a therapist, so you didn't even have to work, but you just had to be a licensed therapist in another state for 5 years immediately preceding. That'll change to any two of the last 5 years, and that becomes effective this August 3rd. But there's other statutes that I think that the AG's office usually puts together that affect health boards, and we'll probably have that sometime. We may even do the August meeting because it's not super important that we have that briefing until the law is in.
We either prepare a memo, someone volunteers to write it up, and then we all kind of just tailor it for our individual boards, or actually we're having our section meeting today. That's happening right now. I think it might be where they decide whether we're going to do that this year, or each attorney will just have to provide their own update. But one way or another, we'll give you some rundown of the things that change. There are some noteworthy changes, board voting requirements, minutes stuff. There's some changes to the appellate standard. So we'll, if not next month, the only reason would be because someone from our agency is writing up a template, and we're just waiting on that, because I could put something out for next month that would be a little brief, more brief. So we'll see. I hope I don't have to write it.
It hasn't been assigned to you yet.
No, and it's there's a lot in there that doesn't pertain to, you know, covering everything that's not my cup of tea. But I will get something to you for next month.
So unless anybody has any other questions, I don't have anything, and I'm not a fan of talking just to talk, so happy to answer any questions.
Our next meeting is June 21st?
25th.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on the bottom of the...
If there's no further business, I move we adjourn.
Second.
We only have one form and five scheduled for that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So moved.
Thank you.
Go home.